The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
For 40 years this week, in fact, the George has been at the centre of nightlife in Dublin. It has grown through a period that spans the most significant social and legislative change for the LGBT community in modern Irish history. It opened 6 years before homosexuality was decriminalised in Ireland. So it was opened in 1987, and it was decriminalised in 1993. And it must be, sorry, bear in mind, 1986, because it's 40 years. Joining me to discuss all of this now, despite my bad maths, is Brian Merriman, founder of the International Dublin Gay Theatre Festival, and Padraig Wilson-McCarthy, broadcaster. Good evening, gentlemen, to you both. Brian, I would come to you first of all, just because you are around slightly longer. Bring us back to those days, those years, in fact, when the George was open, and I was actually living around the corner from it at the time in Dublin, when the George was open, but being gay was still covert, it hadn't been decriminalised, it was a very different Ireland. What was it like back then there?
Well, I think, first of all, you were very scared of what a gay bar was. I thought I was going to walk into a walk-in orgy, terribly disappointed still to this day. It was literally a safe place. You went down the side lane and you went in, and the nightclub was upstairs called The Loft, and there was a bar downstairs. But most importantly, it was a safe place for all ages. And it also gave us a language, because, you know, you could actually mention I was in the George, and then people picked up on exactly what you were going to say. Or I remember when I met somebody in the George and they'd say, how are we going to say we know each other? And I'd say, well, let's say we met us coming outside of 12 o'clock mass in the Pro Cathedral. And that, even though it was with the George, etc. And the George was not just a bar. It was a place where there were community activities. So, for example, I brought theatre into the George for the very first time, the only time it's ever been quiet with people for one solid hour. And it also, we were allowed fundraise, because in the 80s, you couldn't raise money for AIDS. You couldn't even talk about it in any other bar or place around the country. So places like the George were the heartbeat. I can remember in the late 80s, maybe with me buckets, etc., getting about £3,000 in those days from that community to go towards an AIDS charity. So it had all the joy, all the camp, and all the security. The security staff were absolutely fantastic. They protected you in and around the environment as well, so that people could come in and out safely.
Because the guards, this is a bit like Stonewall, but the guards did not, is raid the right word, but they certainly did go into the George the odd time.
Yeah, if there was somebody in a bad humour down in Pier Street, etc., they seemed to come in. And I remember recognising one of the guards who was in one of my musicals. And so I stepped in front of him and said, what are you doing here? You know, there was nothing going on in that. And he said, oh, Brian, you know, you better talk to me, Sergeant. So they used to come in like that. That changed then, because missing person pictures would go up for young people. And that would prompt a discussion, you know, amongst maybe their brothers and sisters, say, Mam and Dad, you not think so-and-so might be gay? So then we'd be asked for information on people. Sometimes, sadly, it was too late. But at least conversations happened, because there was a place for us to go, and there was a place for people to pass on very important information, which at times did save lives. So very important place, beyond a bar, you know.
And I want to bring Padraig himself, but Brian, lastly, was it one of the first places in Dublin where you could be openly accepted, your sexuality, who you were as a person? You didn't have to hide, you didn't have to, I don't know, mask yourself in some way.
Yes, and the other thing was, you know, if they ever want, people want to come in and do a film, there was always notices up to say, we're filming tonight, so you go out into the backyard or something like that if you didn't want to be filmed. Yeah. But it was people of all ages, and you know something, one thing here I also noticed was, sometimes straight people having an affair would go in with their affairs, because they know nobody would snitch on them, because in return you could say, but you were in the George too and you must be gay. So
goodness,
it was a real melting pot of people.
You were
people,
providing like cover left, right and centre for all sorts. Let me bring in, I wasn't expecting that now, let me tell you. Let me bring
there
in Padraig Wilson-McCarthy.
What happens in the George stays in the George.
Well, and rightly so,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
But would you say, do you relate to any, that you're a little bit younger, Padraig, do you relate to any of that? I'm sure you obviously have the crack in the George, and the George obviously has drag shows now, and it has bingo, and it has all sorts of entertainment and activities and everything like that. But But is it still, does it still have the cultural relevance?
I think totally. I think the thing about the George, and a lot of people will credit the George with this, is that if you're growing up, like many other queer people in rural Ireland, and look, I'm from Cork, so we had a gay bar in Cork, but it was a very small gay bar where everyone knew each other. And when you came up to go to the George in Dublin, when you finally were old enough to go out in Dublin, it was like being in New York. It was like something you'd never seen before. You'd people, but like people that you could relate to. And I think for a lot of people in rural Ireland who might never know another queer person, to be able to go to the George and go in and feel comfortable and feel safe and secure to meet other people just like them for the first time is amazing. And that still happens today. And I think a lot of the stuff that Brian spoke about there, about it being like a community hub, you know, a charity event.
You're finding your tribe.
Yeah, totally.
If you, as you say, come from somewhere small and rural,
100%.
You may not know anybody else is gay, maybe.
Yeah.
Or certainly nobody who's out is gay.
And a lot of people, particularly before, you know, there was no queer representation in media, for example. So people didn't actually know. People kind of felt it was just a bad thing to be, or it was the wrong thing to be, because we didn't have anyone to look up to. So then for someone like that to be able to go into the George and meet other people and have an open conversation and realise everything's actually going to be okay. And that still happens. And like I said there, the thing about the George is it's still that space. It's still that community hub. They still run events. They still do things for charity. You know, they've got pop-up SDI clinics every couple of weeks just so that people can go in securely, feel comfortable and get checked to make sure that everyone's, you know, safe and within the community. So I think it's a very, very valuable place, and we're very lucky to still have
it. I'm just thinking of the day that marriage equality was passed in Ireland. Wasn't it Vincent Brown broadcast from the George? But where else was he going to broadcast from? It makes total sense.
No, it's like HQ. It's like the headquarters for everything. You know what I mean?
It's gay HQ.
Yeah, it's
perfect.
For sure. And like all of the celebrations that we've had over the years have, you know, the George is the place that you'd go to do that, because it was kind of like you knew everyone was going to be there. Yeah. You didn't even have to send a text.
Brian, you mentioned generations there, and obviously the next generation is still going to the George. It has that kind of relevance that it just keeps going. Is it still it's not a cold house for older gay people? Are there still people who go to the George who are in the closet? Is that still a thing? I have no idea. Forgive me for asking, but what's going on there?
No, I don't think many people are in the closet now. I mean, I agree with Pádraig. I used to run Mr. Gay Ireland, which is an AIDS fundraiser, and we saw all young people coming up for the very, very first time coming into the George, and that was life-changing for some of them. There is the original bar, which is called Bridie's now, after a wonderful barman who loved musical theatre and show tunes, who passed away. But that's also affectionately known as Jurassic Park, and you can go in there and still buy a pint.
Is Pádraig a bit young to be in Jurassic Park? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, so that's still kind of part of the original George. The George was just that first building, then it expanded into the second building, and then it expanded into the third building. Now, obviously, with noise levels, an awful lot of older people don't go into gay bars, etc. anymore. However, it's still a hugely cosmopolitan, diverse group of people. And most importantly, there's a welcome, and most importantly, you're safe.
Yeah, and there is it fair to say, Paul, there's a welcome for everyone. I've been to the George, and I'm not gay.
There is.
You go in with your pals who maybe are gay, and it's like, oh yeah, you're just here.
100%.
And so it's not a cold house to anybody.
No, absolutely not. And it's important as well, because allies, we're so reliant on our allies for everything, you know. And if, you know, you've never been to the George before, you might know any other gay people, and you're going to a gay bar for the first time, you're going to bring your girlfriends with you. You know what I mean? For a little bit of, you know, Dutch courage, you know. So anyone is welcome into the George, and that's what I love about it. And you know, you go up and you queue up, and there's even a bit of banter in the queue. There's a bit of banter with the bouncers that you'd get in no other place. You know what I mean? This conversation there, and from the moment you arrive you feel at ease, and I think that's what's really important as well.
Look, fair play. Listen, thank you both very much for joining us about 40 years of the George this week. That was Brian Merriman there, founder of the International Gay Theatre Festival, and Pádraig Wilson-McCarthy, broadcaster.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman
with Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at grunes.co.